Hey everybody, this is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Today is February 26th, and today on the pod, you are going to hear the second hour of our live show from February 14th. In this hour, a father calls in, and he is concerned that his negative attitude, understandably negative attitude, towards government school and his larger educational philosophy might be having a negative impact on his son's motivation, possibly his son's future. It leads to an interesting discussion. More stuff is right around the corner. The next 5 or 6 shows will all be content from the 2013 New Hampshire Liberty Forum. I'm really looking forward to some of those, and I hope you are too. That's it for today. Enjoy the show.
Someone in the chat says, I have a bit of a different problem than the freshman. I have a teen that does not want to be educated at home, and I think my attitude toward public schooling is giving him an excuse to be lazy when it comes to his schoolwork. Should I change course? That person...
Maybe that person sounds like they should call in.
That is a person who should call in. We do now have a working computer. I do now have to just open Skype again. If you're just joining us, this is the regular show, but we had a computer crash that ended the first part of the show suddenly. Hello, you are on School Sucks Live 610. Who's this?
This is Daryl.
Oh, hi, Daryl. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
Well, I was actually the one posting the post about my 15-year-old. My boy is in public schooling, and for a number of years now, I've questioned him on whether or not he would like to be educated at home, and I have come back. He's come back to me in the negative, and I don't want to force him into anything, obviously, and it's becoming kind of a riff a little bit because he knows my views on the public education system and how damaging it can be. So my fear is that my attitude toward public schooling is giving him kind of an out as to applying himself adequately in school. And I was just kind of wondering what your thoughts were on that and if I should be worried or what I should do.
Well, I don't know. Let's try to work our way through it because this is something that I've struggled with myself. And it's a fine line that I've had to walk in what I do. Go ahead, Osborne.
Can I just say, first off, that you've already given him a great gift by opening the door to his prison?
Right.
Right. So he's going to be much more mentally able to deal with his environment, knowing that he can leave whenever he wants.
Yeah, I would say that that's probably true. 15, I think, is where you start to come out of that period of real hopelessness that lasts from maybe like, 12 to 15, the middle school years, where you've grown a little bit and you're seeing that these adults are really not that impressive and the system really doesn't make that much sense, but you're still so far from that light at the end of the tunnel. While in elementary school, you're just, most kids are very obedient. They tend to make school more fun. There's more crafts. kids are not usually, unfortunately, terribly self-assertive at that age. So 15, 16, I think, is really a turning point for a lot of people. But Daryl, I actually just resigned the last tutoring contract that I had, just doing some freelance.
You want another one?
What's that?
Do you want another one?
that's the trick, because let me tell you why I resigned. In addition to the business that I have, which has been very, very slow for several months, I do some contract work for another company on the New Hampshire seacoast. And the clients that they were feeding to me were people who basically had these academic needs, which is something that's very common in why tutors are sought by parents. They say, help so-and-so get a better grade or help their grades go up generally. And this is something that over the last several years has become very frustrating for me, because I just want to say to the kids, yeah, you're right. This sucks. Don't worry. don't let yourself be defined by your performance in school. Don't let yourself be defined by grades. But that's not why those people are paying me to be there. So it's a very tricky spot to be in. So ultimately, at the end of last week, I had two or three of these clients, two current and one in the works, and I just gave the woman who runs the company my resignation. So it's a very difficult spot to be in. And when I said, you know, as far as walking that line is concerned, you know, I thought, well, I don't want to make this person feel more stuck. You know what I mean? Because, like, I might not be able to offer them a way out like you can do as this boy's father. As Osborne said, you can open that cell door and he can walk out when he wants. I'm guessing, correct me if I'm wrong, that there's probably like a social reason why he still wants to be there.
That's what he tells me, is that, you know, he really enjoys going to school and being with his friends. And that I understand. And you know, the funny thing is, it's not like he doesn't do his work. And it's not like his work is not good. I mean, my wife and I, we go over his work and we engage with him and, you know, and we review it, and his work is good. It's just that, you know, I think he's got the attitude, and I'm wondering if it comes from me. He's got the attitude, well, public school really doesn't matter. So as long as I'm learning,
yeah,
that's okay. But he simply does not hand his work in, and because of that, his grades suffer. And, you know, it's not like I have to force him to do his work. He does the work. He just doesn't hand it in because he's so nonchalant about the entire experience as far as, you know, grades and things like that. And I'm afraid that that's my fault.
Yeah, this was very similar to the experience that I was just having with this kid. He would do stuff, and then, like, he wouldn't be able to find it. He wouldn't hand it in. He's like, I don't know. I know I did it. And then it just like it didn't matter to him. And that was, it was so frustrating for me to be like, well, you know, I agree with you, but I'm here to do the opposite of what I, to send, the, not to do the opposite, but to send the opposite message of what I really agree with. So I don't know. I mean, one of my concerns would be that there might be the formation of bad habits that will last beyond school. If he doesn't have...
That is my concern.
A couple of suggestions that I would have. The first one would be, and this was one of the last conversations I had with one of the other students that I was working with, whose grades were not that bad, but he was spending like 4 hours a night on homework for a private school that he went to in Maine, balancing life. I mean, it sounds like such an obvious thing, but it's something that people, I find, are really not very good at, and for a long time, I wasn't very good at myself. Like, I get way into these school sucks projects that I always want to work on. In fact, I had to move this week, and I have Liberty Forum coming up next week. So I wanted to, like, get all my work done so I could have, like, a few days off to deal with these other issues. And as soon as I had nothing to do, I said, oh, I'm going to make a video with Tom Woods, and spent like 10 hours on it because I had the time to do it. So I have to continuously remind myself that balance in life is important. And the conversation that I had with this other boy, who I think is about 12, who was spending all this time on his work, is what else do you do? What else do you enjoy doing? And maybe some of that extra effort and perfectionism that you seem to be dumping into this schoolwork could be appropriated to these things that you actually like to do. And maybe that could be a motivator for you to get through schoolwork faster so you can have a life. Now, how I would relate that to your son's situation is... is he doing anything else, hobby-wise, interest-wise, that creates that balance where there still is an opportunity for the formation of good habits, good work habits?
I would say yes. I mean, obviously he does. I mean, he is, like I said, he's 15. He's had a job now for a year and a half. And, you know, and I look at his attitude toward work, and he's very punctual. He's very worried about doing a good job at work. So that's why, you know, I'm a little skeptical about his situation than, for example, my wife is. Because, I mean, she's in the mindset that, well, you have to get good grades in high school because you have to go to college. And I know that that is not correct or that is not necessarily accurate. So I would answer your question with, yeah, I mean, he's a really well-rounded kid. I mean, ever since the time he could walk, we've been those horrible parents that would take him to museums and just let him look at whatever he wanted to, not what we wanted to look at. But so, I mean, he's grown up with a very diverse experiences, and he's not a lazy kid by any means. I'm just wondering, just focusing on the school issue, I'm wondering if I am enabling him to kind of blow school off a little bit, and whether if I am, whether that's the right course of action to take.
Have you had any conversations with him about what he wants to do after school?
I have. And this is what's kind of prompting my concern, is that he is kind of going on the path of least resistance as he can see it. He wants to enlist in the military, and he says that, you know, XYZ won't help me do that. And he's, you know, that's the struggle with me, is that he has his arguments very well formulated. He has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, at what point, and I'm kind of at the point where, okay, he has a plan. At some point, he's making his own decisions. So, at what point do I stop trying to steer the boat and let him sail his own course?
Where do you think the motivation to join the military came from?
Well, he is enrolled in the junior ROTC program at his high school. I have worked with the military extensively in the past 15 years. So he's been in that culture. So again, I see that, and I think that perhaps he's just taking the path of least resistance.
Because it's something that is known, and I'm sure the message is being communicated in JROTC that going in the military creates options for people.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really even attest to what he's learning in his ROTC program. I've talked to the professors in that program, and they do not, from what I can tell, they don't drive students to the military. It's not a recruitment program in the school.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply a way to, expose them to various things, and it seems to have taken with him. So, at one point, I certainly would not forbid it, but I don't know. I'm in a quandary.
I think that seems like it's coming from his exposure. I mean, the only thing that you can really do as a parent is try to balance that with, you know, introducing him to maybe some other things. And I don't
well,
know.
Well, and sorry to cut you off, but I mean, from the time that he was able to walk, we've been introducing him to everything that we could.
Right.
So it seems to me like he has chosen this path freely. I don't want to get into his, right now, his quasi-decision to join the military. He's using that as a rationale for kind of, you know, slacking off and not necessarily doing his work in school.
Because he won't need it.
That's his rationale, yes.
This is something that's certainly open for discussion in the chat if anyone has any experience, but that is a terribly difficult situation, and I don't want to use a word like persistence, but I would continue to remind him that there are other options, there are other things to try. Have you discussed, you know, your philosophy, that big picture with him at all?
Oh, and we do that every night over dinner, yes. So, I mean, and I can't equate his decision to a lack of exposure.
Right.
I just can't do that because he's been exposed to so many things, and we talk about a wide variety of topics and he is very well versed. I mean, you could put him in a room filled with anyone, and he could converse, and he could, you know, see their side. But yeah, I mean, getting back to the whole school thing, I don't know whether my attitude toward public education is giving him an out as far as doing the work. And I shouldn't even say doing the work. He does the work as far as caring about doing the work.
Can I get a little
and
bit...
Should I even be concerned about that?
No, I don't think so.
I don't either. My wife has had a differing opinion.
And so if you don't mind, and I hope I'm not prying too much, can you tell me about maybe like a recent interaction or a topic that came up that was discussed where there might have been some disagreement philosophically, like one of these dinner conversations, and just how that went down?
I don't ever go into a dinner topic with a topic.
Right.
But no, as far as disagreements are concerned, I mean, philosophically, the three of us, my wife, myself, and my boy, I mean, we're all philosophically there at different levels. And I mean, I've always told him that if he has a plan and if he knows what to do to execute that plan, then that's better than 90% of the people that are out there.
Yeah.
And he kind of turned my own logic around on me. And again, I'm not sure if it's a good or a bad thing. But he's kind of turned my logic around on me, and he does have a plan, and his schoolwork has very little to do with that plan.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm of the opinion that, okay, it can be a good or a bad plan. He has to figure that out himself. I can steer him where I can, and I do.
Well, in that same line of thinking, the only thing better than having a plan is having a backup plan. And that's what grades in school get you, is that gives you that always the backup plan of, well, I can do something with those grades.
My dad, said to me when I was about your son's age, and I was having a very hard time in school myself. And he said, listen, you know, when you were in elementary school, I was the chairman of the school board. Most of the people in that building are shitheads. I know that. I know it's not the best thing to do every day, but the better you do there, the more options that you'll have, right? So the broader picture that you can provide, you know, as my father tried to do for me when he was talking to me about, I mean, you know, and he did, I mean, I don't want to get bashed on the free domain boards for saying he did the best he could, but he gave me the best information that he had at the time, I think, with an earnest concern about my future. And, you know, a lot of those conversations were around going to college, but I think it might have been more the school environment that made it me feel like there wasn't another option besides going to college. I think it might have also been related to something that I often overlook on my show, which is peer pressure. Like, all my friends were going to college. So how would I have looked as a senior in high school to say, no, I'm not going to do that? That was what my clique, you know, who wore ironed collar shirts to school and played golf. That's what we were doing next. We were going to college. And I just was kind of a thoughtless teenager who never really contemplated what would be best for me after high school. And the pressures of school, the pressures of peers, the urgings of parents, that just seemed like the one path to go down. But I do remember that conversation that my father had with me when he said, the better you do here, the more options you'll have. And the truth was that I didn't do well there, and I didn't have a lot of options after school. Mm-hmm. So when you're 15 years old, I think just the broader picture of what would be helpful for him to understand, and maybe he does understand it, and maybe you've made this crystal clear, is that, you know, goals can change. I mean, you can be 17 and meet a girl who wants to go on tour with Fish, and, you know, the military is, you know, a distant memory. And I'm not saying that he's that capricious or anything, but I can only picture myself at that age. And the direction that I wound up ultimately pursuing, which was a communications degree program at a four-year college, was based on something that I wanted to do when I was 12, you know, which was be like a sportscaster. Hmm. Oh, and here I am today in front of a microphone. Weird.
Wow.
Yeah. Just need to get some sports in front of me and I'll be living my dream. Yeah, I think that options is a very kind of desirable selling point. I think that your approach as far as the school thing is right, because it's good that you are sharing these ideas with him, because even if he's just like, ah, that's not that important to me, or, oh, I don't need to do that well here, it's still that environment, that routine still has a very negative effect on people if they think it is the be-all, end-all of their existence, which is a very, very common belief for young people. And, you know, we see this these teen suicides not related to bullying, but related to the pressures of high school. So I think that the fact that you've provided him the other side of the argument that he's probably getting at school so frequently, where this is the most important thing in the world, works to his benefit. But you're, I'm guessing, pretty opposed to him, the idea of him joining the military?
Oh, not at all. I'm not. I mean, like I said, I grew up in a military family. You know, I work with the military now. And I'm not opposed to that at all.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. I mean, if he's going to go in the military, why not do it like a badass and, you know, go to the Naval Academy or the Air Force Academy? Or
yeah, I tried that shtick, and that didn't seem to work. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that the ROTC program that he's in, it taught him one thing, and no one likes an officer. He said, oh, all the officers are jerks.
Oh, so, well, yeah.
Okay.
Little class warfare there.
You could look at it that way.
Or give people a reason to want to go get shot. Oh, you don't want to be like those guys who don't get shot because they're just assholes.
Or it's
well, that's what I said. You know, if you want to go in the military, I mean, go in the Coast Guard. Right? You can actually do some good. Mm-hmm. Right? But yeah, he wasn't into that. I don't know. But no, I mean, the topic of my the crux of my question is not his immediate choice right now as far as going in the military. And as you said, I'm not opposed to that decision if that's what he wants to make.
Well, the problem is, though, is that that's the decision point for that is something that comes much further down the line. And so if you lock yourself into having to go that route now, that may be a big, big mistake.
Yeah. Right. When we're talking about the importance of options,
yeah.
Right? Like the word of for this period is create options for yourself. I mean, certainly there are avenues out of the military into other things, but you know my philosophy very well if you listen to this show and you know my stance on that. I don't understand how an 18-year-old could be in that environment and be enjoying life. And I think that's a very important thing to be doing day in and day out. And, you know, I hope this isn't offensive to anyone, but I see the military going through the basic training, being a soldier, as sacrificing today, sacrificing tomorrow, sacrificing the next day for the hope of something better in the future. And I think that that's a routine that we get into in school, is that from the age of 6 to the age of 18, and as it increases, as we get to 18, the amount of protest we have about what we are forced into doing every day, people are always telling us that the payoff is deferred. People are always telling us that you do what I want now. You be unhappy now so you can be happy later. And then that becomes a routine that people just never break. You know, they say, oh, I'll be happy when I graduate from this college. And then they're not. And then they get a job and they say, I'll be happy when I get promoted. I'll be happy when it's the weekend. And what we have is like this society of drones who are just awaiting retirement, because that's the last chance for a transition into happiness. So I think that being fulfilled in life, having a satisfying life, having autonomy and independence in life is something that people should strive for every day. You know what I mean? And that's one of the reasons why I would strongly suggest somebody not go into the military. It's also one of the reasons why I would suggest people shouldn't be in government school. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, certainly I can see your philosophy. It does hold together. The military does afford certain, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but it affords certain opportunities to certain people under certain circumstances.
Yes.
And like I said, I've always been of the thought that if a kid gets out of school and doesn't necessarily know what he wants to do for the rest of his life, that as long as you can go in the military and you can still have some structure, I mean, you're 18 years old, you have some structure, you have a lot of options once you get in, and then it gives you a period of time that allows you to grow up, to be on your own, and to decide what it is you want to do after the military. I can see it both ways.
Yeah, but to me, it seems like too much of a crapshoot today with what I know and what I see, like, on the other side of this war. People coming home, the suicide rate. You know, I was listening to Adam. We had Adam Kokesh on last week, and I was checking out some of his show. And there was a lot of talk about, you know, he was a veteran, or is a veteran, and, you know, the talk about post-traumatic stress disorder. In that that suffering in silence, it seems like in the military, you can be treated as a hero until you speak up, right? It seems like even though it might create some avenues for vocational opportunity or advancement, and it doesn't mean that the people, I'm sure people leave the military 4 years, 8 years in unscathed and mentally healthy. I mean, I'm sure it's possible, but it does seem like a risk these days. Of course, all we're dealing with here is the individual piece of it. Like, what is the impact on the individual of this experience, and not some of my broader objections to it. But yeah, I mean, that's something that's certainly out of my control as far as your son is concerned. It's certainly something that's out of your control, you know, as far as like if that's what his desire is to do right now. But I'm actually...
Well, that's the other thing with the military is, you know, not there's only a very small number of positions in the military that are actually combat positions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, so you know, in the military, as long as you choose your MLF correctly, you know, you can be doing any one of a thousand different things. But and part of my concern, like I hate to bring this back to the military, his decision right now to want to go in the military, I hate to bring it back because that wasn't the topic of my original question. But I mean, one of my concerns is that, in fact, he will choose a combat MOS, and no parent ever wants to see their child go to war.
Right.
Ever. Especially those that have seen it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess we've delved into a follow-on to the question that I originally had is, you know, is my attitude toward public schooling enabling him to breeze through into a decision like what we've been talking about?
All right. Well, that's something that I should have fleshed out a little bit better as well. When you say your attitude towards public schooling, could you just give me the highlights of the conversations that you had with him, or what you feel like the bullet points are of the general message that you've communicated to him about public school?
Well, sure. I mean, and they're points very much along the lines of your philosophy toward public schooling is that it is in fact schooling. It's not education at all. It has been instituted over the years to essentially make people conform, and, you know, the people in public school, I shouldn't say the people, the institution itself is not really out to help you at all.
Right.
So those would be my bullet points, and that's probably what he's picked up on. I don't know if he would explain that back. If you asked him that question, I'm not sure he would explain it back that way. But, you know, that's where I wonder. And I think he may have, in fact, missed my point that public schooling is one of the underlying purposes of public schooling is to, in fact, make you conform. And I'm just talking this out with you, I've never made the connection between that, public schooling making you conform, and then going into the military. I've never made that Prussian military connection with him.
Well, public school is frankly, public school is a military recruiting program, because most of the personal affect that is required for the military is inculcated in public education, public schooling, excuse me. And if you go back to the original intentions of the system that was brought here, and Horace Mann, who just said, oh, don't worry, we won't use it for that. We'll use it for the perpetuation of Republican institutions instead of the inculcation of military obedience. But the same system showed up in America.
Right.
The same routines, the same environment, the same regimentation. I mean, that was what the educationists in the middle of the 19th century admired about the Prussians.
Right.
Because children were a scourge, like immigrants.
The denial of self.
Yeah.
The denial of self if I had to peg where we are societally, civilizationally, if I had to peg it to one thing, it would be that. We've been brought up in a culture of the denial of the individual.
Absolutely. That's a philosophy that arrived here with that education system from Central Europe. And it played out there. It played out there to its completion 60 years ago. So that is certainly the direction of this culture, of this country, because it is that same philosophy. It is the ethics of duty, the ethics of sacrifice. That Immanuel Kant was embedded into that entire pedagogy. I mean, whether the people who transmitted it realized it or not. So,
Kant even said that the highest morality is that, in fact, of duty.
Yes.
And I wish I could go back and ask Kant, well, duty, who defines that? Obviously, there's someone above the call of duty if someone's defining what duty is. So.
Absolutely. That relates to what I was saying, too, about the deferral of happiness until later. Because in school, you're done when somebody tells you you're done. You're good when somebody tells you that you're good. And that habit just sticks into people's psyche, into their being, into their routines. For most people, unfortunately, forever. So the two institutions are so intertwined purposely, from the research that I've done, school and the military. And I guess I don't think you can attribute your son's attitude towards school to your philosophy about school, because his attitude, from my experience with hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people in that age group, that's totally normal. What else would somebody think?
Well, that's true. I mean, certainly anyone with a rational mind would come to the same conclusions that we all have.
But unfortunately,
certainly everyone listening to your broadcast.
Yeah, and I shouldn't have spoke so soon, because unfortunately, and this goes back to these pressures that a lot of these kids are putting themselves, are they bringing on themselves, that sometimes result in the most tragic of consequences. You know, I was going to make a joke like, oh, I'll just never amount to anything if I can't balance this chemical equation. But there are people who are dealing with their school experience with that amount of seriousness and that amount of urgency. And I think that your son doesn't have that attitude, then that's a positive. If he is driven to learn in other ways about other things, I don't think in that respect you have anything to worry about. But, I mean, I will reiterate that I think 4 or 8 years of the military after this school experience is not getting any closer to individual freedom at all, or focus on the self. So
yeah, the one thought experiment that I do run is because I have I've led him to the experience of self, mm-hmm. and of his individuality and things. I wonder how successful he'll be in the military if he decides to do that. Something tells me he'll get kicked out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know.
So, I mean, I don't want to force him in any decision. I will not force, you know, someone will. I won't. All I can do, as far as I can tell, is to show him as many options as I can and let him choose. But ultimately, he's the one that has to choose.
Yeah. Do you ever get the sense that he is rebellious?
In what sense? I mean, he's never been rebellious to his mom or I, ever. And in thinking about your question, I would say no. I don't see him as a rebel. He's more like myself in the fact that, you know, I'll just go with the program until I can find an off ramp, and then, you know, I'll just take the off ramp whenever I find it.
Right.
I won't blaze a trail per se for the off ramp, but I wouldn't say that he's a rebel. I would say that he is certainly an individual. No one can really make him do anything, and he knows that, including us as parents. I told him that. You know, I said, look, you know, we can tell you to do stuff, but I said, ultimately, it's up to you to do it. I said, you can do it out of respect for us. You can do it out of fear for what we might do to you. Yeah. I said, but ultimately, I said, you have to do it. I always thought that was a pretty good philosophy to say, you know, if I ask you to do X, Y, Z, you know, I'm asking you to do it for a good reason. And it's really funny because he has repeatedly, you know, when we question him and we ask him to do things from as mundane as clean his room to, you know, anything else, he'll think about it and he'll say, well, why should I do that? Because, and he doesn't stop like a normal 15-year-old and say, well, why should I? He says, why should I? Because X, Y, Z. And he makes a logical argument.
Mm-hmm. So you
that
feel...
tells me that he is thinking and he is aware and he is responsive to himself. So in that regard, I am not worried in the least about his public school experience.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, at the same time, you're always questioning yourself, you know, when you're raising a child and always trying to learn from past experiences and learn from everybody else. And that was the whole reason that prompted my call is my attitude toward public schooling affecting him in a negative way? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like an attitude that would be strange for him to have if your attitude about public schooling was the opposite. So it's a very difficult thing to determine. And I guess we could see, as far as the rebellion question is concerned, if there was like no other signs of rebellion, but maybe this was the thing, maybe this was the place where there would be some. Was there a point? Like, so this would be the experiment. Was there a point where he loved school and he got all A's and did everything that he was supposed to do, and then you introduced your philosophy of education versus schooling to him, and everything changed, you know?
No, that was not the case.
Right.
There was a time when he got all straight A's, but his attitude towards schooling never really changed. It was simply, best I can tell, it was simply a function of the teachers that he had and whether or not he liked them. And, you know, the typical human interactions that you have in school. But no, his attitude has never really changed. We've never put the pressure on him to be stressed out about school. So his attitude, I don't think it's ever really changed. It's just at this point in his life, it seems to be becoming more pronounced to us. And, you know, maybe we were just ignorant of it before. I don't know. Maybe it does. But I don't see where his attitude has really changed at all towards school.
Well, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to put a little more thought into this. Obviously, it's hard to think about every aspect of this on the fly in this format. And maybe you and I can connect sometime off the show in the near future and talk about it a little more, because I think this is really important. So you have my contact information.
I do.
I think there's a lot of people.
I appreciate the conversation. I think it was great.
What happens to me, I find in this format, is I say stuff and it's not like I disagree with it later, but I think of more stuff that would have fit in along the way. Usually happens when I'm editing it. Why don't we just plan to sometime within the next couple of weeks, after I've put some more thought into this, we can talk about it a little more.
Yeah, I would enjoy that and appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for your call, and I'll just plan to talk to you soon. And I didn't forget about the science show. I need to put more thought and work into that as well, and hopefully within a month or so we can turn that into a series. So, because I know
we're all busy.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest in that. And there's actually something called, I've been meaning to get into it and see what it's all about, but there's actually a science group has formed at schoolsucksproject.com. So I want to get in there and see what they're talking about. But we will do that at some point in the future.
Great.
Thank you very much for your call and your participation and your support, and I'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Brett, and when you edit this, make sure you make me sound smart.
I will. I've got plenty of practice doing it with myself.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
Hey there, random crowd of people. Do you like School Sucks Podcast?
Yeah!
Even more than school?
Yeah!
How'd you like to see the show produce more content?
Yeah!
Reach a bigger audience?
Yeah!
How'd you like better production quality?
Yeah!
Even bonus content?
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah! So are you ready to make a modest contribution to see all of these things happen? That's okay, because now it's easier than ever to help out School Sucks. I just pooped a little.
I'm sorry, voiceover guy, did you say you just pooped a little?
Yeah, talking in this voice all the time puts a tremendous amount of stress on the human body. It's okay, I can keep going.
Look, I can probably do this myself.
Hi, this is Brett, and now it is easier than ever to support this show. Why? Because of the internet. Get on there. Go to schoolsucksproject.com, make a user account on our new website, join some groups, start some groups. Anything educational is great. Participate in our forums, make friends, message new friends made on that site. And if you want, you can join the AV Club. You do get a lot of extra content, and it helps the show. Please go to Twitter. @SchoolSucksShow is how to find us. Follow us. We're doing stuff there. Go to YouTube. School Sucks Podcast is our username. And like us on Facebook. Thank you so much. I hope you continue to enjoy the show.